Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 14 again, please. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Look at Proverbs chapter 4, please, and verse 2. The book of Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2 tonight. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law." And I want to speak tonight on why and how to share Bible doctrine with others. We have concluded 34 lessons on Bible doctrine. In those 34 lessons, in lesson number 1, I taught about the importance of doctrine. Lesson number 2, I taught about the doctrine of God. Lesson 3, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, part 1. Part 2 was lesson 4. The doctrine of the Son of God was number 5. Number 6 was the doctrine of the Word of God. 7, the doctrine of angels. 8, the doctrine of the devil. 9, the doctrine of creation versus the lie of evolution. 10, the doctrine of the fall of man. 11, the doctrine of the forgiveness of sin. 12, the doctrine of salvation. 13, the doctrine of the resurrection. 14, the doctrine of heaven. Then I did a 3-part series on the doctrine of prayer. 18 and 19 was on the doctrine of fasting. Then we taught about the doctrine of love as lesson number 20. Number 21, the doctrine of stewardship. 22, the doctrine of missions. 23, the doctrine of the fear of the Lord. 24, the doctrine of justification. 25, the doctrine of sanctification. 26, the doctrine of repentance. 27, the doctrine of hell. 28, doctrine of baptism. 29, the doctrine of membership. 30, the doctrine of the church. 31, the doctrine of the Lord's Supper. 32 and 33, the doctrine of giving. 34, the doctrine of the Lord's Day. Then, 35 would have been the doctrine of the church. Believe it or not, this is number 36. And so, let's talk tonight about how and why to share doctrine. Look at your Bible. Go to Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. And you can follow along in the outline if you so care. But I want you to notice scripture tonight in your Bible. The Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we are commanded, you and I are commanded to learn the Bible. Now why? Because it's the light that I need to be able to walk in a dark world. The Bible teaches that it guides every step that I take. As you learn Bible doctrine, it shows what you believe. And as you're able to learn Bible doctrine, you can show others what Bible doctrine really is. See, Bible doctrine is not just for the preacher. It's not just for the Sunday school teacher. It's not just for the assistant pastor. It's not just for the assistant Sunday school teacher. It's not just for the Christian school teacher, the evangelist, the missionary, or the Bible college student. Bible doctrine is for moms, too. It's also for dads. It's for teenagers, for children. It's for new Christians and old Christians alike. Bible doctrine is for everyone. So as I learn Bible doctrine, I understand the light of the Bible. Statement number 2, our children, your children, my children, need to learn Bible doctrine. Listen to this verse, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. The Bible says, gather the people together, and I will make them to hear my words, and they will learn, it says, to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. All right, so the Bible teaches that we ought to gather the children together. Why? So they can learn Bible doctrine. Isn't it funny today that we'll gather them around a television set to learn something about a television program? Isn't it something how people would gather around some type of a projector or something like that in order to view a DVD. Isn't it something that people would gather around and they'll sing around the piano at Christmas time, or they'll gather around and they'll go out and eat, and they gather around the table and they eat until there's no more room to place the food, and they gather around certain places. But you know, the Bible talks about how we ought to gather our children around the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is that which is going to help your children to make wise decisions. And by the way, not reading a commentary. I'm talking about reading the Word of God. All right? So as you teach your children Bible doctrine, it gives them a basis to be able to stand on. Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Who shall teach knowledge, and who shall make to understand doctrine?" All right, so the Bible teaches that we're supposed to make them to understand. It talks about who they are, those that are weaned, it says, from the milk. So we're supposed to take that child, and as soon as that child is weaned, if you will, we're supposed to be able to take Bible doctrine and teach them. Now, what's that show us? That shows us we're supposed to teach them when we're very young. When they're very young. You don't wait until they become a teenager to teach them Bible doctrine. You don't wait. And by the way, they're not going to be able to continue to grow if all they know is Jesus loves me, and that's all they do is travel around and walk around. They've got to have the Bible as their anchor. They've got to have truth as the foundation for which to stand on. By the way, if they don't have that, and they don't get that as a child, and then they wait to a teenager, and then you hope they get it as an adult, they may never get it. So you cannot wait to teach your children Bible truth. Statement number two. Statement number three. We need to understand the pure doctrine so that we do not get involved with false doctrine. See, if you understand, Mrs. Wells, for many years when I was there at the Bible college, she worked at a bank. And she worked at the bank, and at the bank that she worked at, she came home one day and she said, "You know the way they find phony money? They find phony money by studying the real money. Because if you study the real money long enough, when something phony comes up, you see it immediately." You know, it would be very good for us to understand the depth of that. Before you study anything else, you ought to dig very, very deeply in the Word of God and immerse yourself in truth. By immersing yourself in truth, you can see the phony things when they come up. Have you ever done this? Have you ever gone on vacation and you went to what they would say was a fundamental independent Baptist church? And when you walked in there, you kind of felt out of place because, first off, they didn't have the right Bible. And then, second off, it just seemed kind of eerie to you because they were not teaching from the Bible, or they were teaching from some other type of resource material. May I say that all scripture should come from the Bible. And the way to understand what false doctrine, have you ever done that? Have you ever gone into a church and you just felt like, well, you know, this is not home? That, you know, we've had so many people go on vacation, so we can't wait to get back home. Now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You ought to be used to a church that teaches and preaches Bible truth so much that you're grounded so much that when you go someplace else, you don't feel comfortable if they don't come up to par. All right, now here's what the Bible says. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, "In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Now, we actually had a Bible study about the doctrine of devils. Now, the Bible teaches that these are those that are going to take heed. They're going to depart from the faith, and that's where it starts. That's where it starts. They depart from the faith by missing Sunday school. They depart from the faith by missing a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service. They skip out on a Wednesday night service. They start to depart just a little bit. What is faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more I hear the word of God, the stronger my faith gets. All right, so how do I depart from the faith? I depart from the faith by departing from the word of God. The less of the word of God you have in you, the less faith you will have in him. There are some people believe God for big things, and I guarantee you, they probably spend a large amount of time in the Bible. There are other people that believe God for marginal things, and it might be because their faith is not big enough They've not fed their faith enough to believe God for the bigger things because they're only spending a marginal amount of time in the Bible. There are some people that can't trust God at all. Might it be tonight it's because they don't study their Bible, read their Bible at all? You see, we understand tonight that a person, as they depart from the faith, long before they are taken by that which is wrong doctrine, you have to leave something in order to go to something. And when you leave something, you're going to go somewhere. Now, stay with me. But when you leave something, you're going somewhere. When you leave church tonight, you're leaving to go somewhere. But you're going to go somewhere. You're not just going to leave and wander around in the parking lot saying, I'm leaving. And you walk around for the next 9 hours in the parking lot saying, I'm leaving. Because somebody's going to come pick you up to help you leave. They're going to think that something's wrong. All right? But notice this, if you will. You notice here that there's that pure doctrine. If I'm embracing pure doctrine, then I'm not going to be embracing. By the way, you can't embrace both. How can two walk together lest they be agreed? You cannot embrace both. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't embrace both. All right. And so talk about light and darkness. I mean, you'd be walking in one or the other. You can't embrace both. All right. And so there's the comparison. You have true doctrine. What is that? That's bread. You have false doctrine. What is that? That's moldy bread. You have true doctrine. What is that? That's the sword. You have false doctrine. Rusty sword. You have true doctrine. That's seed. You have false doctrine. That's a corrupt seed. You have true doctrine, that's fire. You have that which is a false doctrine, false fire. False fire. They're getting excited, they're getting fired up about something that has no foundation of truth. Somebody says, I'm going to join a church because that's an exciting place. Wrong reason. Well, I'm going to join the church because I like their exciting music program. Wrong reason. Well, I'm going to join the church because they're shouters and not pouters. Wrong reason. You join the church, why? Because it is standing on the foundation of truth, which is the Word of God. You join the church because that's where you're going to get fed. That's where your children are going to become strong. That's where you are going to be able to understand the truth so that the truth can help you to stand. All right, now wait a minute, watch this. And so in the Bible, we see that the truth is compared to milk. Well, then what would that make a falseness? It would be sour milk. You see, that which is truth is like water. Untruth would be like stagnant water, not going anywhere, polluted, if you will. The truth is like a mirror. You ever been to a state fair or something like that, and you see these mirrors that are mazes, and you step over here and you're wide. You step over here and you're skinny. You step over here and you're short. You step over here and you're gone. All right, well, that's like the world. The truth is like a mirror that gives you a true picture of who you are. But that which is falsehood, false truth, gives you a distorted picture. See, and that's how come you have to be careful. Even when you go on vacation, and if you ever move your membership to go someplace else because you're leaving town and you're moving to a different city, a different nation, a different country, if you ever move your membership someplace else, be sure that it is a place that shows you the right direction to go from the mirror of God's word, and it doesn't show you falsehood. Well, preacher, how do I know that? Shouldn't I believe every preacher? No. They have to line up with the Bible. All right, now let me show you some things. All right, so learning doctrine will help you to keep unity in the faith. Unity in the church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Notice that doctrine and fellowship are connected together. Where there is good doctrine, there's going to be good fellowship. Where there is wrong doctrine, there's going to be the wrong type of fellowship. It'll be sensual, many times it'll be fleshly, but if it's right doctrine, it always produces right type of fellowship. They don't have to talk about something dirty. They don't have to talk about something ungodly. They have the right type of doctrine, because the right type of doctrine, you're not going to get anything impure out of the right type of doctrine. So when you have Bible truth, Bible doctrine, it produces the right type of fellowship. Then the Bible says the breaking of bread and in prayers. At the beginning of that verse, it says they continued steadfastly at the apostles' doctrine. By the way, doctrine is the only thing that will give you stability. You're not going to get stability because of a music program, and thank God we've got godly music. But you're not going to get stability because of a music program. You're not going to get stability because somebody gives you counsel from the depths of their knowledge. You're only going to get stability from the one that is the most stable one, who is God, who gave you a Bible. Look, the best counseling book you'll ever find in your life is the Word of God. Because there's nothing that matches up to the Word of God. Well, I need help. Where do I go? Why don't you go to the one that created you? Well, I just can't reach him, can't see him, can't touch him, can't feel him. You can do all of that through the Bible. So you allow the Bible to become the word that it should be in your life to counsel you. You know, most church splitters and most people that sow discord among the brethren are people normally that do not have sound Bible doctrine. Because if they had sound Bible doctrine, they wouldn't be practicing ill tidings. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure, listen to it very carefully, sound doctrine, that after their own lust, it says, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And what does that mean? That means that some people are not going to like sound doctrine. Some people, I'm telling you, I've been at it a long time, and I'm telling you that some people go to church, they're not looking for doctrine. They're not looking for truth. Here's what they want. They want a feel good, make me happy. Come on, let's go out and have an ice cream for Jesus. Let's gather around and sing Kumbaya. Hello? That's what they're wanting. They're wanting somebody to come up and pat them on the back and tell them how great they are. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is a sword. The Bible talks about that sword. It divides. That sword, it cuts. That sword, it pierces. And sometimes the very best medicine that you can take in your life is the stuff that doesn't always taste good. Have you ever been sick and you started to take some of the medicine that the doctor prescribed and you thought in your mind, oh, this doctor must be mad. He doesn't know what he's doing to me. I mean, it tastes absolutely horrible. I can't stomach this medicine. But if you take it, you get better. See, not always is the Word of God going to settle in your lap for you to cuddle it, hold it. Hey, come on. You know, sometimes the preacher's going to get up and he's going to sit, he's going to step on your toes, sit in your lap, and spit in your eyeball. Now, sometimes that's going to happen. Sometimes that preacher's going to, amen, he's going to shout. He's going to hit the pulpit. He's going to shake the pulpit. He's going to stomp his foot. He's going to have sweat rolling off of his brow. And he's going to have holy water spewing out his mouth. But he's doing that not to hurt, but he's doing that to help. You know, it's funny. Yeah, you have a coach, if you will. And the coach says, it puts you through all this rigmarole of these exercises that really just takes it out of you. They say, give me X amount of sit-ups and give me X amount of push-ups and run these sprints and handle this away and take off that away. And in your heart and in your mind, you might think that he's a madman. But when you get out there, you're able to actually stay on a court, or you're able to actually stay on the field without your body giving way. You think back and say, now I understand why I went through it. Yet you have parents tonight that say, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do that. And they try and get you to act, if you would please, Christ-like. And they show you Bible truth. Well, look, do you understand? They're preparing you just like the soldier that goes through the boot camp in order to be prepared to withstand the battle on the battlefield. So does the parent prepare you as a young person, putting you through boot camp right now in your life, so that when you become an adult, you're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And he mentions the word children there. See, God wants us to understand that we need to have that which is the Word of God to help us to be able to go forward. That means at Parkside Baptist Church, we ought to teach sound doctrine. That means that at Parkside Baptist Academy, we ought to teach sound doctrine. We're getting ready to start Champion Baptist School for some of our bus teens that have, I believe, earned a good Christian education. Now, wait a minute. The sound doctrine needs to be there. Lone Star Baptist College, sound doctrine needs to be there. You know, you need to be in a place where that sound doctrine is there. You know, every guest preacher that we have in this pulpit will only be guest preachers that do preach sound doctrine. You know, when I go off the churches, I don't go in the churches that preaches a false doctrine. You know, it's important that we have the unity inside the church. How is that going to be? It's going to be through sound doctrine. Statement number five. Then doctrine will help you to know that our church is a Bible-believing church. Well, how do I know what church? How do I know where to go? You compare it to the Bible. See, the Bible teaches in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says, I give unto you good doctrine, forsake not my law. So is it good doctrine? Well, how do you know what good doctrine is, preacher? You compare Scripture with Scripture, and the Bible itself is its best definition of truth. Well, I'm going to look it up in another book. You don't need another book. You can find you know, the Bible defines itself very well. And you have a private tutor, what more do you want? You know, the Holy Spirit of God is that intercessor, if you will, that's our private instructor, our private tutor, and you don't even have to pay him. And he shows up all the time. He doesn't charge you anything. You can always ask him, and he'll always direct you, and he's always got the right answer. He's never going to trick you into trying to believe something that's not true. Oh, watch this. And so we see this, that in the church, you can always tell if it's a Bible-believing church because they teach the right doctrine. Now, that would mean this. It would be important that you bring your Bible so that you can see doctrine. You bring your Bible to church and you look as the preacher preaches. Well, you know, I just trust him. Well, thank God. I hope you do feel that way about me. But to be honest with you, in any church, you ought to bring your Bible. Because as you bring your Bible, you can see what the preacher is saying. And you'll be able to go home and study it out. So when you go home, it's good to study the Bible. It's good to believe what you see. Somebody says, well, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. That's wrong. God said it, doesn't matter if you believe it or not, that settles it. See, when God says something, there's no room for argumentation. If God says it, then it doesn't matter who believes it. God is always right. He is not interested in our opinions. He is interested only in our obedience. All right? And so what we understand about Bible doctrine will keep you from watching the false teachers on television and listening to them on the radio. Here's what the Bible says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 9, and be not carried about, it says, with divers and strange doctrines. All right? And so how do I know what strange doctrine is? I go back to my Bible. I look at my Bible. I see what is true doctrine. Then if somebody else is not preaching true doctrine, I know that they're off. And when they're off, don't listen to them. Don't listen to them. I'd far rather trust flesh and blood that I could see and ask a question to than, come on. Somebody says, well, I have a pastor. My pastor is a television evangelist. But you know, when you get sick, he's not coming to see you. And when all of a sudden your loved one dies, you're not going to get a text. You're not going to get a telephone call. You're not going to get a pat on the back. You're not going to get a prayer. It would be good to have somebody in your life that cared enough about you to walk beside you. Now, wait. And so Bible doctrine tonight, why is it important to share it? Why is it important to teach it to our children? Why is it important to believe it? Why is it important to endorse it? Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says, which all, it says, are to perish with the using. Now, what's he talking about that's going to cause all to perish? There's something here in this verse that he says, if you use it, it'll cause you to perish. Now, what is it? Says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments of the doctrines of men. So God says that when we follow the doctrines of men, we're going to perish. So we're not supposed to follow the doctrine of men. You go down to a so-called Christian bookstore and you pick up some type of reading material. You pick up a book, you pick up a magazine, you pick up something and you listen to me. First off, if they're not using the right Bible, you listen. And what they're doing is they're giving all of their opinions and all their, you say, preacher, you believe that the Bible inclusively can be studied and that tool right there called the Bible can help me more than anything else under heaven. I believe it. You know, long before there ever was all sorts of these other books, there was this old fashioned, you know, when we had this July the 4th, we went back in history, didn't we? And we saw why Yale University was established. And we saw why Princeton was established. You go up to the University of Pennsylvania, as I brought out in the archives of history on that July 3rd Sunday morning. You go up to the University of Pennsylvania, and they still had Wycliffe's big structure outside there. And the biggest building that they have at the University of Pennsylvania was established so that the crowds could come and hear old-fashioned gospel preaching. That's why it was established. Yale, you check out the history. Yale University, Princeton, and such like, all of them were established. The first 80 universities that was established in the United States of America, the very first 80 universities was established as places for people to go to learn how to give out the gospel to reach a world that was lost and dying. That's why they were established. Our forefathers knew the importance of getting out the Bible. You cannot go to a building in Washington, D.C. You even go down to L.A. and you go to the courthouse down there. You're going to see scripture written on the outside of the courthouse. You go to the justice, if you would please, what they call the justice house or Supreme Court house there in Washington, D.C. Ten commandments written everywhere. I mean, yeah. We're a Christian nation. We were founded that way on the scriptures. So why in the world should we walk away from truth? Listen to it. Mark chapter 12, verses 38 through 40. Here's what it talks about. It describes, it says, the doctrine of the scribes. It said that they love their long clothing. They have their salutations. They go to the marketplaces. They sit in the chief places as you read the scriptures there. Or they're even in the synagogues. They're in the upper rooms. They're at the feast. They're going to the widow houses. The Bible says that they're long in their prayers and yet they receive the greater damnation. Now, why is that? Because doctrine is not right. See, doctrine has to be right for us to be right. Here they're playing prey on widow women. They're going to the feast. They're going into the synagogues. They're moving from place to place. That's why it's good to be able to have sound doctrine so that you know what is right. You know, at Parkside Baptist Church, we're not going to move from place to place, and we're not going to try and get you to say, well, you know, you go over here and do as the Romans do. You know, you go over here and taste it, and you go over here and you taste it, and you take your child over here and you taste this, and you check out this church, and this church practices this church. What you're going to have is a confused child. You find a place that teaches and preaches the Bible, and you just put your life there. Let somebody help you. You know, it's amazing. If you ever find a good chef, you just always want to go back. But if you ever found somebody that's not a good chef, you just don't want to go back. Have you ever gone to a restaurant and it just absolutely turned you off? You know what you do in your mind? You mark it. You say, I'm not going back there again. Because that didn't taste good. Have you ever had a waiter that dropped everything and most of it was on you? That is not a good impression. All right? And so the Bible talks about how we need to have that right type of doctrine. Let me give you this and I'm closing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, and I besought thee, it says, to abide still at Ephesus. When I went into Macedonia, listen to what it says here, that thou, it says, mightest charge some to teach no other doctrine. He said, look, I just want you to know that I'm here to charge. Now, what does that mean? That means to encourage. What does that mean? That means to challenge. What does that mean? That means to motivate. That means to stir up. He said, I'm coming to be able to do those things in your life so that you do not leave sound doctrine. Because if we leave sound doctrine, everybody else, listen to me, that's not embracing sound doctrine will look good. But everybody that is embracing sound doctrine will not look good. But if I stay with sound doctrine, then what takes place is that sound doctrine gives me the foundation in which to stand on and train my children, my grandchildren, and many generations to come. So what do? I give myself so that I can take and learn sound doctrine. You know, that's why every Sunday school lesson teaches sound doctrine. That's why every Bible challenge that we have here in the academy, in the college, it's soul winning on Saturday morning. Sound doctrine. That's why the young people that go to our college, what are we teaching them? Sound doctrine. You know why? Because when they get out of college, they need to have sound doctrine so that they can stand, because they may not always have a Parkside Baptist Church. So they need to learn sound doctrine so that they can stand on their own two feet to be able to go forward to accomplish great things for God. It is so important to take that sound doctrine and share it. Take that sound doctrine and make sure other people get it. Take that sound doctrine as a young person, be able to lap that up and learn it and let that abide in you so that you know exactly where you stand. Isn't it amazing when you go out soul winning, if you knock on a door, stay with me now, you knock on a door and all of a sudden a Jehovah Witness comes to the door and they're just a little bit devout. Isn't it amazing how sometimes a Christian even will say, blah, 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 blah. I'll get back with you. Instead of saying, hey, let me show you. Let me tell you. Let me help you to understand. Here's what the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? You know, we ought to have such sound doctrine that you don't have to bow your head in shame or shamefulness to anybody because we know sound doctrine. Our children ought to know it. You know, I say this, I'm not saying this in the wrong way. But I think Jonathan has sound doctrine. I think Josh has sound doctrine. I think Jared is learning more and more and more. Sound doctrine is getting stronger and stronger and stronger. He's still growing. I think Rebecca is growing and growing and learning. Now, wait a minute, watch this. if I die tomorrow, no hope so's, if I die tomorrow, I think the two older boys would be able to stand strong. I think Jared would be able to stand strong, but not as strong. I think Rebecca would need help standing strong. And that's why mom's there. Stay with me. But you ought to be that to your children. You know, many times we'd leave a church and I'd say, hey, tell me why we believe what we believe. What's the Bible say about, I wonder what your parent, I wonder how you would respond tonight. I'm done. But how you would respond if your parent came up to you and said, okay, tonight you're in charge of family altar. And I want you to teach us on this subject. I wonder how thorough it would be. I wonder if you could be able to take a verse and rightfully explain it. Now look, we have got to grow up somewhere in life. Somewhere in life, you have got to get a grip on Bible doctrine. You're not always going to have your parents. You're not always going to be able to sit in their lap and cuddle up. You are growing up. You're getting older. Listen to me. You're not always going to have mom and dad to walk around you and say, well, you do this because you ought to know why you do what you do, because the Bible says thus and so. The Bible needs to be the groundwork, the foundation on which we stand upon. You come up to me and you say, well, Brother Wells, why do you believe this? I'll give you a chapter and verse and say, look, this is why we believe, this is what we do, and this is why we'll continue to do that. But that ought to be in your life, not just in a preacher's life. Sound doctrine is important. Don't walk away from it. Don't lay it down. Don't run from it. And understand it and embrace it.